from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. We've lived with the Patriot Act for some 14 years now. We've lived for 2 years, thanks to NSA analyst and whistleblower Edward Snowden, with the knowledge that under that law, all Americans' phone conversations are being vacuumed up and studied for patterns of interaction against terrorism, we're told. Tomorrow, the House will almost certainly pass a new bill to limit that kind of surveillance. But in the age of ISIS, Patriot Act surveillance still has its defenders. This hour on Point, the NSA, bulk data collection, and the future of government surveillance in America. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Are you worrying more about our privacy and the NSA, or about the next ISIS or Al-Qaeda-inspired terror strike in the U.S.? Is it time to rein in the surveillance? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me first today from Phoenix, Arizona, is Dustin Volz. He covers tech policy on Capitol Hill for the National Journal and, of course, has been closely following the legislative jockeying over the Patriot Act and the so-called USA Freedom Act. Dustin, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
What exactly is expiring on June 1st, and where does Congress stand in the process of addressing that?
So on June 1st, three core provisions of the Patriot Act, the post-9/11 Patriot Act, are due to sunset. These are sort of surveillance provisions, and the one that's very controversial is Section 215. It's known to some as the library records provision, and after the Snowden revelations, it's really been come to represent the bulk collection of every American's U.S. call data. And that provision is what allows the NSA to vacuum up all the duration of calls, the who you're calling, and the length and the timestamps of them, and they use them to sort of attempt to plot out as you mentioned earlier, analyze them in a way that where they can see terrorist attacks. Of course, after the Snowden revelations, this was something that was unknown before, and it's coming under intense scrutiny, and the House is expected tomorrow to pass this bill, the Freedom Act, which would effectively end the bulk collection of these call records and instead have the phone companies keep them, and the NSA could then sort of ask for them on an as-needed basis with some judicial oversight, some judicial approval involved. This is a bipartisan bill in the House. It's likely to get close to 300 or maybe more than 300 votes. But in the Senate, the things are very different. As you mentioned, there are a number of defense hawks led primarily by Senate Majority Mitch McConnell and a few of his Republican colleagues, including Marco Rubio, who's running for president. And they're adamant in saying that this is an important program, that it keeps Americans safe, that with threats out there like ISIS and other things going on, the recent attack in Garland, they say that this is a very necessary program to keep Americans safe. The privacy advocates on the other side would say there's very little or no evidence to suggest that this has actually done anything since 9/11 to keep Americans safe, that this is just sort of a gross infringement of the Fourth Amendment and its privacy protections from a illegal search and seizure. And they're sort of barreling towards some sort of standoff. And it's particularly interesting in the Senate because you have three factions. You have sort of the people who want the status quo, the defense hawks who want to keep it as it is, those who want to support this reform bill, the Freedom Act to undo the Patriot Act. And then you have those such as Senator Rand Paul, also running for president, who wants to let the authority expire completely because he kind of doesn't like any part of the Patriot Act and he thinks it's, infringing on every the civil liberties of every American. So it's sort of a three-pronged debate going on in the Senate, and it's very unclear how they're going to figure this out in the next couple of weeks before June 1st.
Dustin, the courts got involved in a significant way just last week on Thursday. What happened there?
Right, a federal appeals court, the Second Circuit out of New York, a three-judge panel ruled unanimously that that the program was illegal, that basically the interpretation of the NSA under the Bush administration and the Obama administration, their interpretation of sort of the word relevant was totally not correct, that using the word relevant to say basically all phone records relevant to a national security investigation, that is, that is a farce. Basically, that's not what that word means, and that certainly that Congress did not intend for the Patriot Act to do such a thing. And it's sort of echoing an argument that a lot of the reformers have said for a long time, which is, hey, we didn't know this program was going on. This was a secret program. Sure, some lawmakers on the intelligence committees maybe knew about this, but by and large, Congress didn't know that they were voting to give such this, such a wide authority for the NSA. And one of their chief one of the chief proponents of that argument is Representative Jim Sensenbrenner. He's a Republican in the House from Wisconsin. He actually was the architect of the Patriot Act, and he has repeatedly said that basically their use of this phone records program was a blatant misreading of the law. But you have others, such as, you know, Senate Intelligence Chairman Richard Burr and Mitch McConnell and others who say they knew what they were doing. They anyone who didn't know what this program – that this program existed, that they weren't giving it the stamp of approval, they were sort of not doing their job. They weren't going to the classified briefings. They if they weren't aware, it's their fault. And so the court decision ruling it illegal definitely gives sort of a help to those who say that, you know, not only is this program ineffective, but – it was never authorized in the first place, and to simply extend the Patriot Act would be sort of going against what this court is saying and creating a situation where you're renewing a law that at least one court has said is illegal.
Here's Wisconsin Republican James Sensenbrenner. He chaired the House Judiciary Committee at the time of the September 11th attacks, and now he is sponsoring the bill that would end the bulk collection program he inadvertently, he says, put into law. Here he was talking last Thursday, Sensenbrenner.
I was the chairman of this committee on September 11th and the author of the Patriot Act. I can say in no uncertain terms that Congress did not intend to allow the bulk collection of Americans' records. The government's overbroad collection is based on a blatant misreading of the law.
Dustin Volz with National Journal, can you explain exactly how it works now? I mean, the New York Times says that the NSA cast the widest possible net for call data by, quoting them here, forcing the major phone companies under a secret court order to pour their data directly into government computers. Is that going on now?
Yes, it is. And this is what was exposed via the Snowden revelations 2 years ago. Basically, the secretive Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court every 90 days is granting the authority and compelling the telecom companies, Verizon and others, to hand over their metadata and give it to the NSA, put it in their sort of, you know, this huge database that, you know, they can query when they believe that they have a just means to do so for a national security investigation. That is going on. Court approval of this program happened within the past couple months, and they said, basically, that court said, Congress, you need to figure out what you're doing because this is going to be the last one. This takes you up until June 1st when the law expires, and you need to figure out some way to continue it or some way to reform it or some way to end it. And the Obama administration has said if Congress doesn't give Obama a bill that he supports, and he has indicated that the Freedom Act is a bill he does support, that this program is going to end. And it's not just the bulk records we're talking about. We're talking about a lot of other surveillance authorities here that, that the NSA says is very important to national security. And even some critics of the program say, hey, we don't want to let everything expire. That would be a little too far. And so it's sort of, again, a standoff in the Senate to see what's going to happen.
If both houses go with the Freedom Act, what would the Freedom Act allow here in terms of surveillance? How would that work? If the data stays with the phone companies, how would that change the NSA and intelligence services access to it?
Well, depending on who you ask, it would change it not much at all or change it quite a bit. So basically, it would effectively end the bulk collection in the NSA of all the records, but it would allow them to go to the telecom companies after getting this judicial approval from the FISA court and say, hey, we need these records. Can you give them to us? And then we'll query them and we'll be able to search them. So
is that a distinction without a difference? Because, I mean, the only thing they're not doing is bringing it into their own computers, but the phone companies still have all of it. And if they have got comparable access, what is the difference?
Well, the phone companies already do keep them, and the phone companies have indicated that they will. These are records that the phone companies sort of, you know, create anyway,
yeah,
just by being a phone company. And so it's a much more limited collection from the government. And yes, they're still then able to use surveillance on the phone records, but you know they need to limit sort of what is a selection term. Like they can't collect all the records. They have to sort of give, you know, we're looking at this investigation. We need these records. We think they might be able to help us in such and such way. So it's a more limited narrowing of the collection. There are also a number of sort of transparency measures and oversight measures that are in the Freedom Act that advocates like. But you're absolutely right. I mean, what you're getting at is sort of there's this enormous cleavage among privacy advocates and among lawmakers who despise the NSA or think they're overstepping their bounds. who say, you know, let's let this program expire. The ACLU has basically said, let's let this expire. Electronic Frontier Foundation came out after the court decision, and they changed their position from saying, we support the reform bill, to, hey, this is illegal. Why would we pass a bill allowing this program to continue in any fashion when a court is saying it's illegal to begin with? But others are saying, well, you do need reform. Some of these resources are valuable to national security. But there's a big disagreement on that side of the debate. You have Rand Paul saying, let's kill the Patriot Act, basically. Let's kill these provisions. And then you have Senator Ron Wyden. Both of these senators have pledged to filibuster any attempt to renew it completely. But Wyden wants to Senator Wyden, Democrat from Oregon, wants to reform it. And Senator Paul, Republican from Kentucky, wants to kill it, basically.
And here's Senate Majority Leader, Republican, of course, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, digging in hard. This is a speech on the Senate floor just last Thursday. He's defending the Patriot Act provisions here and pushing back against the new rival bill, the USA Freedom Act. Here's McConnell.
Many of them are proposing a bill, the USA Freedom Act. They say will keep us safe while protecting our privacy. It will do neither. We'll neither keep us safe nor protect our privacy. It will make us more vulnerable, and it risks compromising our privacy.
Risk compromising privacy? How would that? What does he mean by that, Dustin?
It's a very interesting line of argument to come from the majority leader, but he's in essence aligning himself with his fellow Kentuckian Rand Paul here, who's on the complete opposite spectrum of the debate, by saying, you know, this will actually, in some ways, you know, could create problems, could allow the NSA to do things that they can't do currently, and Rand Paul's pointing to this court decision, saying, well, if we just kind of follow the courts and say it's illegal, they won't be able to do anything. McConnell is saying, well, there are problems with the bill. It's, you know, we should not pass it. We should not rush it through. Let's keep the Patriot Act as it is.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we are talking this hour about NSA surveillance, and in particular about bulk data collection in America, and what will survive the current debate in Congress, what will or will not be beaten back or approved in the weeks just in front of us. Patriot Act provisions sunsetting on June 1st. And if all that bulk data collection is going to go on, well, there'd have to be some kind of new approval or maybe a different way of getting at it. Dustin Volz is with us from National Journal, joins us today from Phoenix, Arizona. It's a pretty hot issue there. House going for big passage, it looks like. Senate, not so clear. On Thursday, here's Republican Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina, chair now of the Senate Intelligence Committee, saying that now is not the time to hamstring, as he has it, the NSA.
Why in the world would we think about rolling back the tools that are the only tools that put us post 9/11 versus pre 9/11? The threat is greater today domestically and around the world than it's ever been.
Well, why? Here's Democratic Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon talking with MSNBC on Thursday. Said Americans don't have to compromise civil liberties for security and don't need that bulk data collection as permitted or at least done under Section 15 of the Patriot Act, 215.
I have long felt that so often this debate is premised on the idea that if you're going to protect liberty, you have to give up your security. And I just don't buy that for a second. We have, through the Warren process and particularly through emergency authorizations, when the government feels that there is a threat to the well-being of the American people, the government can really move in a hurry. But that's very different than dragnet surveillance.
Dragnet surveillance, but that is more or less what we have had. Glenn Greenwald, who was at the center of Edward Snowden's release of all this insight to the world, will join us in just 1 minute. A couple calls first. Dustin, stand by in Phoenix. Charlie in Atlanta, Georgia. Charlie, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, Tom. I think the Patriot Act should expire and then should be buried at least 6 feet underground. It's fundamentally antithetical to not only the Fourth Amendment, because it's not based on probable cause. It is, in fact, a violation of the Third Amendment, because it allows a government agent basically to be stationed in your home against your will.
Electronically, on your phone.
Absolutely. What's the difference? Do police have the right to walk up to you on the street and strip search you? No, they don't. And I think that the Patriot Act basically allows exactly that. And I think Americans need to go watch a very important movie, the German film The Lives of Others, which talks about the Stasi in East Germany. And that's what American law enforcement is turning into. It's turning into the Stasi, or if you'd like a more blatant example, the Gestapo. And I don't think any reform is going to do anything. The Patriot Act should never have been passed in the first place because it is fundamentally against the principles, the basic principles of the Constitution.
Charlie, we've got it. You put it very clearly. Stop it. Stop it cold right here. We're hearing from Atlanta. I appreciate your call. One more from Abilene, Texas. Gary, you're on the air.
Tom, nice show. Great topic. I just wanted to let you know that I am completely, like the previous caller, opposed to the Patriot Act. It and some other laws were a knee-jerk reaction to 9/11. Should never have come about in the first place. I typically don't align myself with Rand Paul, but I am 100% with him in this issue.
Hey, let me ask you, Gary, you're in Texas. In Garland, not so many days ago, we saw a couple of would-be shooters who affiliated themselves with ISIS, you know, go on the attack. Now, they were taken down, but are you prepared to see this kind of surveillance used to try and stop that sort of attack in this country?
No, surveillance, this kind of surveillance, it certainly didn't catch them in the first place.
Yeah.
Secondly, an off-duty policeman is the one who took them down, an off-duty policeman, with a revolver, no less.
Yeah.
So no surveillance for this kind of stuff. You know, Tom, the 9/11 hijackers, I read a book recently called, I don't remember what the title was now, but it was about the pre-11 activities of these 9/11 hijackers.
Mm-hmm.
And all the dots were there. They were being followed, but different agencies were involved. So nobody connected the dots.
So you're not confident that even if all this collection is going on with its imposition on our constitutional rights, that we end up with the right result. Gary, I appreciate your call. One more. We'll go to Glenn Greenwald. Matt, Turner's Falls, Massachusetts. Matt, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I've been a loyal Democrat all my life, and I just can't believe that I agree with Mitch McConnell about anything. But frankly, I cannot understand what this fuss is all about. I don't care if the government knows who I called or when. I can't see how that hurts me in any way.
Well,
I mean,
you say that today, Matt, but what if you were, I don't know, involved in a political movement, which would be your right, that the sitting government might not approve of? What if they started to use their records to snoop around on you?
Okay, when that happens, I'll worry about it. But these people, Americans are so spoiled. They talk about the Stasi and the Gestapo. They have no idea. The Gestapo were hauling away tens of thousands of people every month and just shooting them outright.
Fair enough, Matt, but isn't that the whole point of our Constitution? Isn't that the point of our Constitution, that we never even get close to that? Isn't that the whole idea?
We're not at all close to that. The phone company has them anyway, and they can get it if they want. And why should anyone care about this unless they're engaged in a criminal conspiracy?
Matt, we've got it. I appreciate your call as well. I'm going to go to Rio de Janeiro and Glenn Greenwald. Glenn was a key activist voice in the debate over security versus privacy, remains so. He and colleague Laura Poitras met with NSA analyst Edward Snowden in Hong Kong back in 2013 when this all blew up. They took possession of the NSA files that really did blow open this story. He's co-founding editor of The Intercept. It's an online news magazine focused on national security, criminal justice. His most recent book is No Place to Hide. Glenn Greenwald, welcome back to On Point.
Great to be with you, Tom.
You hear Charlie in Atlanta and Gary in Abilene, Texas, saying, no way, no how, get rid of this kind of surveillance. But then we hear a voice that says, what is the harm? There's a terror threat. If you're not a terrorist, why care?
Well, it's really interesting that last caller used language that was almost completely identical to what John Mitchell, the attorney general for Richard Nixon, used when there was a controversy over whether the Nixon administration had too much surveillance power. And Mitchell called a press conference and he said, quote, any citizen of the United States who is not involved in some illegal activity has nothing to fear whatsoever. And of course, we now know that that was an absolute lie, that not only the Nixon administration, but almost every administration prior to it, both Democratic and Republican, were wildly abusing these surveillance authorities to spy on anti-war activists and peace activists and civil rights leaders like Martin Luther King, because we really have, it's been proven over and over that you cannot trust people in political power to spy on their own citizens with virtually no limits. That's why that was a primary grievance of the founders when they rebelled against the king and enshrined in the Fourth Amendment the principle that only if there's probable cause to believe that you're doing something wrong should the government be monitoring you.
Glenn, you and Laura Poitras were so key to getting this understanding out to the world via Edward Snowden of what was going on. I'm interested what you think now of the options here. Mitch McConnell says keep these provisions of the Patriot Act, roll them right forward. Rand Paul says none of this, please. What's up on the rails would be reining it in some with the Freedom Act. Do you support the Freedom Act path, Glenn?
No, I think the history here is critical. I'm sure most people remember what happened when the Patriot Act was introduced and then passed with almost no debate. Even in the wake of 9/11, the weeks and months after 9/11, it was recognized that the Patriot Act was a really radical piece of legislation, that it fundamentally altered how Americans think of their own privacy and the powers of the government. And what we were told back then was, oh, don't worry, we know this is a radical piece of legislation, but it's not intended to be permanent. It's just a temporary measure in order to deal with this crisis that we have as a result of 9/11,
yeah.
And it was supposed to sunset within 4 years. And, of course, it's been renewed multiple times, and that's how extremist and radical legislation works, is it becomes normalized really quickly. But what's amazing is what this court decision that you were discussing with Dustin, what it said was, even as radical as the Patriot Act is, even as extremist as it is, not even the Patriot Act can be read to justify or authorize what the Bush and the Obama administrations have been doing when it comes to surveillance. That's how extremist these surveillance policies have become, and trying to reform them or tinker around on the edges really doesn't solve the problem. I think letting the Patriot Act elapse as it was originally intended to do is the only real option.
So I take that means you don't favor the Freedom Act.
I certainly favor the Freedom Act as opposed to, say, what, you know, Mitch McConnell and the sort of hardcore neocons holdouts from the Bush administration like Stuart Baker, who we're about to hear from. I certainly favor the Freedom Act compared to what they want, which is just the status quo to continue. But I don't think that there should be a Section 215 of the Patriot Act that allows for any kind of mass surveillance. Mass surveillance is antithetical to one of the central values of the American political system.
Karen, in Lexington, Kentucky, you're on with Dustin Fultz and Glenn Greenwald.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm calling to talk about why collecting the data is dangerous. An example I'd like to use is in the 1920s and 30s, IBM developed tabulating machines to help European countries and America take census data.
Mm-hmm.
And they became more and more efficient with that, and they marketed that all over Europe. When Hitler came to power, he was able to take that information from the census data and identify Jews and where they lived and their businesses and resources, and he was able to use that for a horrific purpose. That's one reason that collecting data is so dangerous.
Even if it's not your conversation itself, but it's the phone numbers called, the time of the call, the duration, the pattern. I guess the answer to that, from Karen's perspective, is yes. Glenn, under the new Freedom Act, or Dustin, let me put this first to you. The phone companies would keep this, as they've always kept it, and then the government would dip in there to learn what they wanted to know when they wanted to know it. How much would that change their access to the kind of commercially collected information that Karen's worried about, Dustin?
Well, Majority Leader McConnell, Senator Tom Cotton, Senator Rubio, the sort of defense hawk Republicans, believe that any sort of delay to the time that they would be able to acquire this data, any delay at all is a risk that it's not worth taking. I think generally there is an agreement that this might slow down the NSA's ability to collect these records and to examine and analyze them to some degree, because you do have to sort of go through the judicial process more. You have to define which ones you want to acquire. But again, you know, there's a lot of pushback to whether this bulk collection is at all useful to begin with. I mean, even if it is a little more expeditious, if it's not useful, then there really is the question of whether or not it should be around at all. And President Obama has, you know, after the Snowden revelations, came out and defended many of the programs. But in January of last year, he sort of did acquiesce on this issue and said, I want to basically effectively end the bulk collection of metadata. I want to transition to this system that the Freedom Act favors, but I'm not going to do it unilaterally. I need to wait for Congress to send me something to my liking, and I will sign it. He's indicated his administration has indicated that the Freedom Act is that bill that they will support, and I think it's also worth noting this is an interesting debate because you mentioned earlier this is we're not talking about conversations here, but there are many, many surveillance programs that have been exposed through the Snowden files, and this is sort of the first big debate. This is 2 years later. This mm-hmm. debate's been sort of simmering for a while, and it's coming to a head now because of an expiration that's looming on June 1st with the Patriot Act provisions due to sunset. But it's sort of a litmus test for a lot of other debates that are going to come in the years to come when other authorities are expiring about sort of foreign intelligence of email content and other digital communications. And so I think this is not just a matter of bulk metadata. It's sort of a matter of, you know, putting markers in the sand and saying, is this where we want to go? And do we want to reform this and then move on to other reforms? Or do we want to really just, you know, dig in as Mitch McConnell has and not change anything? And it's going to, I think, be telling which way the Congress goes in the coming weeks, because it'll implicate the debates in the coming years and for the next president as well.
Dustin Volz, Glenn Greenwald, please stand by. Stuart Baker joins us right now from Washington, former general counsel for the NSA from 92 to 94, former assistant secretary for Homeland Security 05 to 09, author of Skating on Stilts, Why We Aren't Stopping Tomorrow's Terrorism. Stuart Baker, thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Tom.
Freedom Act. It would change the NSA's access to this bulk data that the phone companies, of course, have. Do you favor it? Should we make this change? Should we rein it in?
Yeah, I think it will significantly change the kind of information that can be analyzed for terrorists. It's the difference between using Google and going down to the library to look something up. Right now, because the data is available, it can be searched quickly, and sometimes that's going to be absolutely essential. If there's a plot that's a cross-border plot, you'll want to be able to catch it as quickly as possible. And second, and maybe most important, the phone companies keep this data for weeks, maybe months, but mostly weeks, and you cannot determine who the people that you've found who are talking to terrorists abroad might be conspiring with in the United States, because those records are just going to be gone. So I think this will very dramatically change what kind of information we can gather about the sort of attack we had on 9/11, which was carefully planned abroad in a safe haven and then brought here with very minimal contacts back home. That's the difference between 9/11 and Garland, was the training in a safe harbor. Unfortunately, for the first time in a decade, there is a safe harbor for training terrorists in Syria and Iraq. And so this is a bad time to get rid of a protection that's aimed at precisely that kind of a plot.
Glenn Greenwald, this would leave the country vulnerable, is the suggestion.
No, it wouldn't. And I think that what Mr. Baker's comments underscore is that there really is this broader debate taking place beyond just these specific provisions. You know, Mr. Baker was an official in the Bush Homeland Security Department, mm-hmm. and I think what the Bush administration did for many years, and it got America into all kinds of trouble, was it kept everything it was doing a secret, but then it tried to convince Americans that they ought to be so petrified of terrorism. First it was Osama bin Laden, then it became Saddam Hussein, then it became Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, now it's ISIS. Just keep scaring Americans over and over and over and telling them, oh, we need all these powers, you can't oppose anything we're doing because otherwise you're going to be dead. And if you look at when the facts come out, it always proves to be false. There was a commission appointed by President Obama himself. They had access to all of the classified information after the Snowden revelations, and the commission said that this bulk metadata collection program against Americans has proven to have stopped no terrorist plots. A federal court last year appointed by President George Bush said that the program was unconstitutional, almost certainly, and he too said that when asked for evidence that it's necessary or helpful in stopping terrorist plots, virtually nothing could be provided. This is just fear-mongering.
Hi, everybody. Tom here. I'm glad you're joining us for this On Point podcast. Before we get back to the show, I'd like to tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, too, Dear Sugar Radio. Join hosts Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond as they field questions about love, sex, work, guilt, money, you name it. That's Dear Sugar Radio. You can find it at WBUR.org/Dear Sugar or subscribe on iTunes. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. And we are talking this hour about NSA surveillance, bulk data collection in America, and what will or will not be beaten back or approved in the next few days, weeks in Congress. June 1st, provisions of the Patriot Act sunsetting. The new Freedom Act designed to come in, change the way the NSA has access to bulk data collection. The phone companies would keep it. They'd dip in. Right now, they suck it all up and do the analysis themselves. Dustin Volz is with us from National Journal, covers all this on Capitol Hill. With us today from Phoenix, Arizona, from Rio de Janeiro, his home, Glenn Greenwald is with us. He's right in the middle of this with Edward Snowden and all the rest. His most recent book is No Place to Hide, about U.S. government surveillance and all that experience. Stuart Baker is with us. He was at the NSA as general counsel and then in Homeland Security in the Bush administration, 05 to 09, author of Skating on Stilts. Here's Republican Congressman Bob Goodlatte from Virginia, chair of the House Judiciary Committee, a couple of weeks ago saying the new format is a better alternative to Section 215 of the Patriot Act.
The USA Freedom Act ensures that critical FISA authorities will remain in place to protect our national security while also protecting our civil liberties so that we can regain the trust of the American people.
But just last week, here's Senator Marco Rubio gunning for the presidency. He's defending just the way things have been done under the current phone record data collection program, saying that these measures are worth it. He cites ISIS as a current threat.
One day, I hope that I'm wrong, but one day there will be an attack that's successful. And the first question out of everyone's mouth is going to be, why didn't we know about it? And the answer better not be because this Congress failed to authorize a program that might have helped us know about it. These people are not playing games. They don't go on these websites and say the things they say for purposes of aggrandizement.
Senator Marco Rubio saying let's keep at it just the way it was done under cover of darkness until Edward Snowden let us know. Pax is calling from Augusta, Georgia. Pax, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thank you. Everyone is saying that this is information that the phone companies have anyway. So what difference does it make? But what about Google collecting all of our information constantly every time we click on something or search for something? Or the chain stores, TJ Maxx and Michaels, who have our shopping patterns and our credit card numbers that are collected and saved and then accessed. The Patriot Act is nothing compared to what private companies are already collecting. And I think we need legislation to limit the bulk collection of metadata by private companies as well as the government.
Pax, I take your point. On the other hand, Google can't put you in jail. They can't.
No, but their data can be accessed by anyone with any savviness. You hack into it with a criminal intent or a dishonorable intent.
Pax, we've got it. This general unease with the volume of data being collected all over the place. I mean, that's part of what's come into this. Stuart, Glenn, Dustin, we had Republican Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina, again, chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, on the Senate floor last Thursday, talking exactly along the line of Pax's observation here. Here's Burr.
Your grocery store collects 10 times the amount of data that the NSA ever thought about collecting on you. There's a big difference between the NSA and your grocery store. The NSA doesn't sell data. Your grocery store does.
Glenn Greenwald, Pax is uncomfortable with this. Millions of other Americans have grown, I don't know, comfortable or docile about a lot of data collection. Should the fact that there's so much out there commercially say to people, well, how bad is it? I mean, after all, your grocery store does it, as Senator Burr says here, or should they be more heightened in their concern because of that, Glenn?
I think that collection by private companies is a very serious problem, but it's definitely a much different problem when the government does it for two reasons. One is the reason that you just suggested, which is the government has powers, such as putting you in prison, taking your property, even killing you, that private companies don't have. And the history of surveillance abuses from J. Edgar Hoover and the like to Bastazi has been abuse of surveillance powers by the state. But the second point is that, you know, Google has your data that you do through Google, and Facebook has your data that you do through Facebook. The government, the NSA, is collecting all of your data from all of these places and centralizing it in one place. So it's a much more comprehensive and complete and therefore scarier and more invasive picture.
Stuart, does that mean that in this era we need to actually draw the lines around government surveillance collection more tightly? Because if government has access to all the commercial data that's being collected, we are naked in front of the state, aren't we?
So, Tom, I do have to correct you or at
Please.
Least observe that when you say that the government can put you in jail and Google can't, that is true. But Google is also not going to stop any terrorist attacks. We give this data to the government precisely because they have a much more important role in protecting us with it than Google or Sears will ever have.
But in this country, the government's role is also to protect my liberty in a way it's not Google's.
Well, and that's where I'm astonished we've gotten this far in the program, and no one has meant, everyone has talked about sucking up this data, storing it at the government's fingertips, and no one has acknowledged that the government imposed and the courts imposed and the intelligence committees imposed strict restrictions on exactly what the government could do with this data. Their access to this data is heavily limited. There were about 300 searches last year, 167 searches that the government was allowed to conduct on this data. They can only do it when they have a reasonable, articulable suspicion. All they can do is look at this data. They don't even have the names in the database. And then they refer it to the FBI for an investigation. The FBI conducts about 300 to 400 investigations a year. This is not some massive examination in bulk of all the data of Americans. It's stored in one place because otherwise it will never be available to do searches that we will need to do if we ever have a serious cross-border attack again.
I mean, this was Senator Burr's point on ABC's This Week on Sunday, saying, look, these are very carefully handled. Here's Burr.
We collect telephone numbers that are de-identified. We don't know whose they are. And the only time we're interested in them if we know that they have talked to a telephone number of a terrorist.
Dustin Volz, no problem. So few are actually, you know, run down in the course of a year, 300 or 400 in a country of 300 or 400 million. What's the problem?
Well, I think a lot of privacy advocates would have serious trepidation sort of about these numbers that are being thrown out. And I mean,
they would not believe them, or?
Well, there's certainly a history of secrecy with the NSA. And a lot of this we only know because of Snowden bringing his files to journalists and them being exposed. One of the examples that in 2013, the government repeatedly said that, you know, this program, this bulk metadata program, had been used to stop, I think the number was 54 terrorist attacks since 9/11. There were 54 examples. And then that number sort of kept changing and lowered. And then some judges weighed in and said, well, that evidence doesn't really add up. And now it's questionable to really if there's been any specific plots that have been thwarted through this program. Also, in response to abuses, this specific program might be rather benign on its face, but again, as I mentioned earlier, this is sort of a litmus test for the debates we're going to have down the road, and some of the other programs, the foreign intelligence programs, have been abused, and the NSA has admitted that they've been abused. There was at least a dozen examples of agents using one of the foreign intelligence surveillance programs to sort of rifle through digital communications data of romantic interest. This kind of came out and was described as love int or love intelligence.
You mean of Americans' romantic interests or others or what?
They're both overseas and in the U.S. And it was sort of, you know, the Inspector General of the NSA came out and in response to Senator Chuck Grassley, you know, said that this has happened a dozen times and we're looking into it. And I think Senator Grassley, as recently as a couple months ago, sent another letter pressing for, you know, more information about how these agents been, you know, have they been punished in any way? Well, what's the status? And so
let me address this if
Stuart
I could,
Baker,
because
yes,
Dustin keeps using this example in his effort to kill this program.
Dustin's here in his capacity as a reporter. I don't think it's his agenda.
Well,
to
I'm
kill
sorry,
the
I've read his stuff. He's an advocate for the other side. And as recently as 2 days ago, wrote an article that was designed to rebut the arguments that are being used by Senator Byrd and Senator McConnell. But in this case, there have been, I think, a dozen cases where in the tens of thousands of employees over 10 years, employees have succumbed to a temptation to find out something about a girlfriend or somebody that they're interested in and put their name or their number into a database to see what they can find. They have been caught. They have been disciplined. It is true that this data can be misused.
Still pretty unsettling that it's even a possibility, right?
Well, you know, there, your driver's license and your license plate number could easily be run by a highway patrolman who has fallen in love with you. We recognize that. We catch that. We discipline that. We don't think that that means we should get rid of license plates or driver's licenses.
Can I talk about that?
Yes, please, Glenn. We've got restraints, and so we're okay.
When Edward Snowden first came forward and we met with him, he said that one of the things that bothered him the most and that actually pushed him over the edge was that James Clapper, the lead national security official in the United States government, went before the Senate and lied to the country and denied that they even have this program in the first place. Sure. There's a whole history of the government lying to the public when they can do what they do in secret. And his other big concern was he said, as an analyst sitting at his desk, there was all kinds of access of data that he could access with no oversight, nobody looking at it over his shoulder. The fact that we catch 25 people abusing the system doesn't mean only 25 people are abusing the system. Remember, Edward Snowden took hundreds of thousands of their documents right under their nose without them having any idea that he was doing it. That tells you what little oversight there actually is within this mass system of scary surveillance.
Ken, in Mason City, Iowa. Ken, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think that the Patriot Act is a good thing. We will never know for many years how many terrorist threats the government has stopped. We don't even know all the details on the Kennedy shoot, which was over 50 years ago. They're not going to tell us what they have done for us. Also, if I would ask the majority of the people listening who the NSA was 15 years ago, they probably would have told me a part of the NASA program. Most young people can't tell you some of our recent history, let alone who the NSA are. I don't feel any of us are talking on our phones that we should be that worried, have the arrogance to think the government really cares what we're doing on our phones unless we're trying to be subversive.
Ken, I've got it. And let me hold that thought right there and get one more, if I may. Lisa in Lexington, Kentucky. Lisa, you're on.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Okay. What's your experience?
Back in the 80s, I was an activist in the Central American politics with CISPIS, the Committee in Solidarity with People of El Salvador.
Yep.
It was a huge scandal at the time where the FBI started collecting data on activists like me. We had FBI files. Our mail was checked. We were followed around. The government is always, there's always instances of overreach when we allow the government to collect as much data as they want without any guidelines.
And you have personal experience of that, and it's good to remember that and bear that in mind. I appreciate your call, Lisa. Glenn Greenwald, where do you come down here? You've got some pretty tough privacy advocates, Electronic Frontier Foundation and others, saying, let's go with the Freedom Act. Are you ready to endorse it, Glenn?
There's definitely been a split among privacy groups. The ACLU, as Dustin said, wants the whole thing to just sunset. I think actually EFF now is having some second thoughts in light of the court opinion. But I understand both sides. But I just think that given how much skill the intelligence community has in co-opting and corrupting legislation that they're giving, like they did with the Patriot Act, that handing them a tool that's called reform that allows them to continue to engage in bulk spying is an invitation for further abuse. And it was supposed to be a temporary provision. It's time to make it temporary.
Stuart Baker, if we go to the Freedom Act provisions, where the phone companies keep the data, the NSA has to ask for it, can it still be effective, in your view, in its security role?
Well, it's clearly better than allowing 215 to sunset, as Glenn is suggesting. All that 215 did, for all the claims that the Patriot Act is some radical extremist piece of legislation, it simply said that if you're investigating terrorism for purposes of national security, you can use the same subpoena authority that we've always used to investigate criminal acts. It wasn't particularly extremist, and it is very valuable for national security purposes on the one and two off basis where you simply want to gather information. So that would certainly be better, and that is preserved by the USA Freedom Act. But In terms of dealing with a carefully organized cross-border plot where there's limited callbacks and a lot of tradecraft deployed, we're going to need a tool that allows us to very quickly identify people who are in touch with terrorists abroad and to figure out who they're conspiring with here. And we won't be able to do it with USA Freedom.
Dustin Volz, handicap it for us. How does it look like this may sort out in Congress at this point? Re-upping Patriot somehow? Mitch McConnell wants that. Or does the Senate end up going along with the House and we've got a new structure here for this kind of surveillance?
I just want to quickly respond to Mr. Baker questioning my reportedly integrity earlier. When Senate Majority Leader McConnell says that there has never been not one, his words, not one documented abuse of these programs, I think it's important to know that there have, in fact, been some documented abuses of the NSA. What's going to happen? The House is likely to pass this tomorrow with 300 votes, maybe more. And the Senate, it'll be a matter of if McConnell wants to budge from his position of not letting any reform through and wanting to reauthorize Section 215.
If he wants to stick with that, what's his option? Can he make that happen?
He is a Senate Majority Leader. He wields a lot of power, but he is going against bipartisan House on this. He's going against the Democrats in the Senate. He's going against privacy advocates and even the Obama administration. So it's sort of McConnell and a small number of defense hawks Republicans in the Senate trying to stand and make a wall. And a lot of people said that they would rather let this expire than renew it completely. So there's going to be a standoff.
We will watch that with freshly informed eyes. Dustin Volz, Stuart Baker, Glenn Greenwald. Thanks to all three of you. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.